She's regarded as one of the greatest sports people Ireland has ever produced. But why has it been so difficult for Katie Taylor to finally get her dream fight in Croke Park? Let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
And you can subscribe to this podcast in the Go Loud app or wherever you get your podcasts. It's Cameron Hill from Off The Ball here. I've hijacked the Let Me Explain controls from Sean Defoe this week to thrust you into the world of sport and one of the most complex sagas in the history of boxing on this island, a Katie Taylor fight in Croke Park. So last week, the Bray boxer confirmed that 2026 would be her final year in the ring and revealed that her farewell fight is set for Dublin this summer. She didn't give a specific date or opponent yet, but stressed her desire to bow out with a homecoming bout at Croke Park.
We are still pushing home for Croke Park, and that will be the ice on the cake for me. To end my career there, it will be just so special to end my career in Ireland's most iconic arena. I'm not sure if it's going to happen, but that's what we're pushing for. If it doesn't happen there, obviously we can look at other options like the Aviv or the Tree Arena as well. So there's definitely plenty of options there, but the top of my list is definitely Croke Park.
This is a topic that's been discussed and debated for years, regularly brought up by Taylor herself, her promoter Eddie Hearn, and as recently as last July, it was brought up in Dáil Éireann. But why has this been such a drawn-out stalemate? When was the idea first tabled, and what are the factors that are keeping it from going ahead? Let's dive into it. For most of you out there, I probably don't need to tell you who Katie Taylor is, but just to give you a brief up-to-speed profile of the Bray boxer. She was born in 1986, started boxing at age 12 in 2001. She fought in the first officially sanctioned women's bout ever held in Ireland, taking on 16-year-old Alana Audley of Belfast in the National Stadium in Dublin. In 2005, Taylor became the first Irish women's boxer to win European gold in Norway. The pinnacle of her amateur career comes in 2012. She wins Olympic gold in London in the first appearance of women's boxing at the Summer Games. She turns professional in 2016, has a record of 25 wins and just the one defeat, which came against Chantel Cameron in May of 2023 here in Dublin. And her last professional fight to date was the trilogy win over Amanda Serrano in Madison Square Garden on the 11th of July 2025. Now, last September, Taylor announced that she'd be taking some time away from the sport. The World Boxing Council bestowed upon her the title of champion in recess and champion emeritus in the lightweight division. So they explained that this is a special recognition to boxers who've had an outstanding career and achieved elite status in the sport. It allows the title to be vacated so that other fighters can compete for it and keep the division active, while granting the boxer a special status and the possibility of returning to fight for the belt in the future. Now, there is a world in which we don't know Katie Taylor for her boxing pursuits and rather her success on the football pitch. She won a treble with Piemont United in 2010, claiming the Dublin Women's Soccer League title, the DWSL Premier Cup and the FAI Women's Cup, in a squad that also included future Republic of Ireland greats Áine O'Gorman and Louise Quinn. She also represented the Republic of Ireland first at under 17 and under 19 level before earning 11 caps for the senior international side. And just before her gold medal fight in London 2012, reports emerged that Taylor was being lined up for a move to English heavyweights Arsenal. Now, a few months back, Taylor was voted by News Talk listeners as Ireland's greatest sports person of the last 25 years. And Lisa Fallon, a former manager of Galway United and a FIFA Global Development Advisor and Strategy Specialist, highlighted Taylor's determination as her standout quality.
Katie had a vision and she had a dream, and she pursued that purely out of passion. I think it took massive courage for her to go the distance, and you know, eventually a sport that didn't exist for women becomes an Olympic sport, and Katie Taylor is a huge part of that. And like, even I was fortunate enough to be at both her fights in Madison Square Garden. I was at lots of her fights when she was younger and emerging, and even her first fight when she was on the undercard of Bernard Dunn against Ricardo Cordoba in the O2 in 2009, she was the first female fight to be on the undercard for that. And like, it was just incredible seeing her fight. And even going back a little bit further, I worked in as a radio reporter way back in the early 2000s, and I always remember, you know, I was always really passionate and cared to kind of promote the women's sport. And Beat Taylor, after her fights in the Euros in 2005, 2006, 2007, they would ring me basically from ringside after she'd won them, and we would get the do the interview and put it out there. And so, you know, she believed so much in what a vision that so many other people couldn't see, and she changed the game for everyone. She didn't just win medals, she changed the lives and the careers of so many female boxers. And I think when you talk about the influence and the legacy piece, yeah, I think Casey is really in a league of her own.
So there are a few key characters to this story. You've obviously got Katie Taylor herself, Eddie Hearn, who's Taylor's promoter and chairman of Matchroom Boxing, a champion of Taylor as an all-time great in the sport. Croke Park is a character of sorts, personified by stadium and commercial director Peter McKenna in this instance. And you've also got the government, the Department of Sport. That role will be ably played by the combined power of Minister for Sport Patrick O'Donovan and Minister of State for Sport Charlie McConnellogue. So Croke Park, let's get into that. The sacred shrine of Gaelic Games has opened its door to other sports on multiple occasions. Last September, it hosted a first ever NFL regular season game on Irish soil when the Pittsburgh Steelers took on the Minnesota Vikings. More on that game later in the pod. During the redevelopment of the Aviva Stadium at Lansdowne Road between 2007 and 2010, it became the home for both the Irish rugby team and the Republic of Ireland soccer team, hosting many a historic occasion in that period.
And what comes next may be perhaps the most historic moment of them all. The playing of God Save the Queen at Croke Park.
It's also been used more recently by Leinster for Champions Cup games and URC Interpro derbies against Munster. And a couple of other interesting ones, it hosted the New York Yankees and Chicago White Sox for a baseball exhibition match back in 1924, and even hosted an international rodeo in that same year. But in this story, perhaps the most relevant instance of a non-Gaelic Games event taking place in Croke Park came in 1972.
Muhammad Ali, why did you pick on Ireland for this fight, and why Blue Lewis?
I think a number one, a true world champion. Not only is she fighting just America and one of the few countries boxing is real popular in, I think they should travel. This is why I fought in Japan. I was asked this question when I fought in Zurich, Switzerland. And now I'm here. And after here, we working on a fight in another place in Africa.
What do you want to see in Ireland? Is there anything special you want to see?
No, I really don't know. I just want to go out and somebody who knows the country, when I have time, just explain and show it to me, because I don't know too much about it. All I know is that there's a lot of green here, and I like everything green.
Muhammad Ali, thank you.
You got any green on you?
So Muhammad Ali beat Alvin Blue Lewis in that fight, which had an attendance of 18,000. The promoter, Michael Butty Sugrue, described as a former Kerry strongman, reportedly put £300,000 in old money into the fight. He lost a small fortune as a result, so maybe a bad omen for Eddie Hearn and those trying to get Taylor Croke Park off the ground. The first mention of Croke Park as a potential venue for a Taylor homecoming fight came in May of 2022 after her first win over Amanda Serrano at Madison Square Garden. Eddie Hearn described the possibility of a Croke Park fight that October as a non-starter. This is an extract from an article from The 42 in May of 2022. In 2018, a homecoming bout penciled in for Dublin's Three Arena fell through when An Garda Síochána advised Hearn's side that circumstances were not conducive to staging a major boxing event in the Irish capital. What they're alluding to there probably is the Regency Hotel shooting on the 5th of February 2016. That day, armed attackers burst in during a weigh-in for a scheduled WBO fight at the National Stadium, killing Kinahan cartel associate David Byrne and injuring two others. It's believed that one of the intended targets of that attack was Daniel Kinahan, reputed head of the Kinahan cartel and co-founder of boxing promotion company MTK Global. Since October 2022, Croke Park has been floated as a potential venue for a Taylor fight on numerous occasions. When the two fights with super lightweight champion Chantel Cameron were proposed in 2023, Croke Park comes into the picture once again. Now, there's a great piece by the 42's Gavin Cooney from the end of 2023, which explains the dealings that went into Eddie Hearn nearly getting over the line with his Croke Park Katie Taylor dream. So reading from the article, publicly, Hearn claimed that it would cost Matchroom three times more to rent Croke Park than it would Wembley Stadium, or really any 70,000 plus capacity stadium in Europe. Peter McKenna refuted this, stating that the rental fee for a fight at Croke Park would be €400,000, roughly on a par with any similarly sized venue on the continent. He also suggested that there would be a significant additional security cost on top of that €400,000, for which he said Matchroom were reluctant to pay. The reality behind closed doors, the article goes on, was that the €400,000 to which he alluded was merely the figure specifically referred to as rent in a long list of charges that were sent to Matchroom in two parts and on separate days. The first prospective bill, including the €400,000 rent, amounted to €580,000 in total. Matchroom agreed to this deal in principle. They subsequently received a second list of operational costs of use of the stadium, including security fees, which amounted to €507,000. This brought the total cost up towards €1.1 million. By comparison, Wembley would cost around €400,000 all inclusive. And this means that if the proposed average ticket price stood at €40, Matchroom would have needed an attendance of at least 55,000 to break even, and they're probably not willing to take any sort of financial hit just to ensure that fight gets over the line. Eddie Hearn, nevertheless, has long been leading the charge on getting a Taylor fight approved for the Drumcondra venue. Now, I mentioned earlier Taylor's trilogy win over Amanda Serrano last July, and after that fight, Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou McDonald brought up the Croke Park question at Leaders' Questions.
Katie, as we know, has fought all over the world. She's walked many times into the lion's den, but I know lots of people now are anticipating the mother and father of all homecomings and a fight maybe in Croke Park.
Shortly after that, Hearn himself gave it the hard sell on News Talk's The Hard Shoulder.
It's probably the only thing that's going to make her fight again, if I'm honest. I mean, I don't see what else is there to do. I know that if she doesn't fight at Croke Park, and if we don't make Croke Park happen, she will always have that little bit of regret in her career. And the people within the community of Ireland should also have that little regret. We will, I promise you, if she walks away from the sport, we will all say, we should have made that happen. You know, and there isn't really anything else for her to do. So I don't think she's going to fight this year anyway. And a fight with Croke Park wouldn't become available probably from April of next year anyway. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't think she'd be able to turn it down because it's a complete dream. Every time she said Croke Park to me over the years, I've lost count. If there's a real public push for this dream to happen for your greatest athlete of all time, it should happen. It has to come with that swell of public support and support at political level as well. We're not, you know, we don't want handouts. We just want to be able to rent a stadium at the same kind of cost as Wembley Stadium. That's all.
Now, Peter McKenna poured cold water on the idea last February. Speaking to the Irish Times, he said, "The approach seems to be megaphone diplomacy. Throw everything at it and something will happen in that sense. Katie Taylor is a magnificent athlete and I think everyone is very, very proud of what she's achieved as an athlete. But to fill Croke Park with 80,000, you need an undercard. You need a whole razzmatazz to go with it. Those things can't be done in a short period of time. Even getting an event management plan together, getting the city council to approve it and so on, there'd be a fair bit of work in that. So I think it's a kite flyer rather than a genuine. I can't see it happening because we haven't heard about it bar reading about it in the papers." So not quite the optimistic note from McKenna on that front. Roll forward to January of this year and Katie Taylor herself breathed life into the campaign when she was speaking to Ireland AM in an interview with Croke Park in the background. Minister for Sport Patrick O'Donovan was then asked by Virgin Media's Ger Tracy on whether the government would assist in bringing Taylor at Croke Park to fruition.
Well, one of the very important things that national governing bodies has is independence. And whatever Croke Park decide to do with regard to Gareth Brooks or Oasis or anybody else is entirely a matter for the GAA and Croke Park. And it's never appropriate for a minister to tell the national governing bodies of sport what they should do with their assets. But I want to thank her for everything that she has done for Ireland. Obviously, she has given an enormous lift at a time when we needed it, and to wish her the very, very best of luck in whatever the road has in the next chapter in her life.
And would you be happy to sit down with the GAA and her promoters to try and get this over the line?
Nice try, second time. We don't do commercial interactions between national governing bodies and how they use their assets to grow their own revenue or for what they want to use their facilities for. That's for them, and it's a matter for the GAA.
So again, another apparent setback for Taylor at Croke Park. But then, speaking last week to Off the Ball, Minister of State for Sport Charlie McConnellogue suggested that the government would be open to facilitating a Taylor homecoming fight.
It's a matter for Katie and her team to consider that and to work with suitable venues, but we certainly will be fully open to meeting with her team and to seeing how we can be supportive and assessing it in line with the policies we have. Obviously, for any event that we engage with, how it makes sense for the public, how it makes sense for any public investment, and it makes sense for the taxpayer is a key consideration in relation to any proposal that would come to us, as indeed the aspect in terms of how it improves participation and provides a legacy as well into the future. So I certainly hope and look forward to this coming to pass and seeing Katie have a final fight, welcome her announcement today that that's her plan, and are very open to engaging around that and to see how we can be supportive of it. And it makes sense for us to do and to look to see where we can support events, but they will all be assessed in their merits because the onus is on us from the point of view of managing taxpayer funds to make sure we assess things, to make sure they benefit the public economically as well as in terms of sports participation. And certainly we'd be very open to engaging with Katie's team around any proposal that they would be coming forward with. But listen, it's primarily a matter for Katie and her team to consider that and to engage with us, but we'd certainly be open to any engagement around that and would certainly love to see the event taking place in the country this year.
Now, that policy that Minister McConnellogue refers to is a very interesting development in this whole saga, because it reframes basically the whole argument as one of economics. You might remember last week the economic impact report came out from Fáilte Ireland after that NFL game between the Minnesota Vikings and Pittsburgh Steelers at Croke Park last September. It argued that €104.5 million had been pumped into the Irish economy as a result of that regular season game taking place here. Now, there are other arguments around the legacy of that game, and honestly, we won't know the effect of the regular season game and its impact on the growth of American football in Ireland as a result. We won't know that until 5 to 10 years from now, but the economic impact seems to be the big driver from a government standpoint. Would a Katie Taylor boxing fight in Croke Park generate that same kind of economic footprint? It's hard to really say. There's also a question of timing and when this fight will take place. Katie Taylor said it would be in the summer, which is vague enough. Mid-August is likely the earliest possible time that Croke Park would be able to host anything like this. The All-Ireland Finals are scheduled for between the 19th of July for the Hurling Decider and the 9th of August for the Camogie Final. And 2 weeks after that, The Weeknd and Bon Jovi have concerts scheduled to take place on the Jones Road. So there's really only a 2 week window to work with. TV viewership will also be a massive factor. So the second Taylor Serrano fight on the undercard of Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson back in 2024 captured a peak live audience of 74 million globally, the most watched professional women's sports event in US history, with an average minute audience, or AMA, of 47 million, according to host broadcaster Netflix. Taylor Serrano 3 from last July on the first all-women's boxing card at Madison Square Garden drew an AMA of 6 million globally, with 70% of that audience also coming from the US. So any fight in Croke Park would have to target a start time that favours the American audience, given the disproportionate amount of American fans that will actually tune in to watch it. According to Gavin Casey, Matchroom did pocket €6 million from the two Taylor Cameron fights at the Three Arena in 2023. So the gate receipts would need to be projected to be in that area too for them to feel it's worthwhile. And then there's the question of who Katie Taylor's next opponent will be. Former UFC bantamweight champion Ronda Rousey had emerged as a potential opponent late last year, but there's two obstacles there. Firstly, that fight would likely have taken place in Las Vegas as opposed to Dublin. And since then, she's signed up to an MMA featherweight bout against Gina Carano on May 16th in California. So a boxing fight against Katie Taylor now seems very unlikely for Ronda Rousey. The most likely candidate, therefore, is Chantel Cameron, who obviously handed Taylor the only loss in her professional career. Now, she's been looking for a rematch since they last met in 2023 when Taylor avenged that defeat. And last week, her promoter's MVP suggested that Cameron would love to fight in a trilogy bout against Taylor. Now, Cameron is set to fight Mikayla Kostakova for the WBO super welterweight title in London next month. And she also claimed last month that she would have knocked out Katie Taylor in the first fight if rounds had been 3 minutes long as opposed to 2 minutes long. Now, that's a bone of contention that's been bothering Cameron for quite some time. So she was given the WBC super lightweight belt once Taylor had become that champion in recess last year. But then she had to relinquish the belt because she had a mandatory challenge against the number one contender Sandy Ryan, but refused that fight in protest over the WBC's rules that women's boxers could only face 2 minute rounds as opposed to the 3 minutes you find in men's fighting. So it's unlikely that a belt would be on the line if Taylor and Cameron squared off once again, but what is certain is that it would be a pretty feisty encounter. So just to recap, we know that Katie Taylor is planning to retire this year and that she's going to fight in Dublin in the summer. We don't have a specified date, opponent, or venue at this stage. Croke Park seems to be the one that she's really gunning for, as is her promoter, Eddie Hearn. Any updates over the next while, any further bits of information, you'll be able to find on Off the Ball and News Talk. We will keep you abreast of every development in Katie Taylor's dream of fighting in Croke Park. But that's Let Me Explain. I've been Cameron Hill. Thanks so much for listening.